Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts, and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. I'd argue with you, in fact, given a chance, I'll argue with anybody in a phone box. I'd argue with you that the material in the conversation in part one of the big interview with Conor Cody made my intro sound spot on. This guy is interesting, fun, likable. He's on the big interview not for those qualities, they're bonuses. He's on the big interview because he can play well. And it's lovely watching him, particularly in a three-man defence, using the ball well. Just like in part one, our sponsors, Bet365, have good questions to ask, as do our socios. In fact, these are some of the best socio questions that we've had in recent months. Fantastic to all of you. You all get a name check. Time permitted that only a couple of them get a mention. And this episode, I think, is fascinating. I think this episode does something that makes me happy and feel purposeful broadcasting and writing about football. And that's to lift the lid and explain an awful lot more about something that gets name-checked or maybe people can imagine a little bit, but they have no idea about the reality. That's recuperation and rehabilitation. I remember that even 20 years ago, when I was still a relatively new, relatively young full-time journalist, I was putting forward the idea that we're squeezing so much out of our footballers that there will be damage. That situation has not only got worse, it's close to running out of control, I think. The way in which clubs help their players understand about rehabilitation, recuperation, recovery is vital. And let me tell you, it's NASA-esque at Wolves. It really is extraordinary. And it's an absolute, complete reinvention of culture going on at Wolves, amongst other clubs. Getafe are similar, but the impact not only on Wolves' performance and their injury record, but on the well-being of their footballers is something that Conor Cody goes into enthusiastic and colourful detail about. This is very, very much worth your listen. Wolves do this part of things better than almost anybody else. So we'll have that. We'll have 3-4-3, his love affair with passing from the back, and in my words, how he became a nation's darling, England's, well, most important centre-back at the moment, maybe, certainly in the 3-4-3. Conor Cody is that popular that getting this interview would have been extremely difficult if it were not for Wolves' general bonhomie about helping us, and that's partly down to our friend Max Fitzgerald, who has been a fan of the big interview, but a supporter at Bournemouth at West Ham and now at Wolves. And I like to think that he'll enjoy listening to this, not for the mention of his own name, but for the fact that when you're involved in communications in a Premier League club, sometimes it's easier, more productive, and helpful towards the club's overall corporate gains to bridge communication between people who want to ask about the game and want to ask about people's histories and players or coaches. Max is in the vanguard of doing that. And many other clubs, not all, but many, should take note. Thanks, Maxie baby. And Connor, thanks to you, man. The role of win-win-win, thumping Espanyol, who are a better side, playing against Sergi Darder, who was in the Spain team that you beat to win the European Championship in 2010. I don't know if you knew that Sergi Darder was a repeat from maybe your most glorious England moment to date, and played in that game where you pumped them 4-0. The Sevilla match, Suso aside, Wolves score late, not opposition. They did a Wolves.
Yeah, they did.
What have you learned from that? Sore as it is, you lost to the winners. Serial winners of that competition. What have you learned?
Yeah, everything. But I know you say that they done a Wolves in terms of scoring late, but they were good. They moved the ball. They took us to spaces we didn't want to be in. We defended well, and we wanted to stick in. And we were nearly there. As the game goes on, you tend to learn a lot about how the game's going to go as the game goes on. And we knew before the game how much of a top footballing team they were. We knew that. Do you know what I mean? I think everybody knew that. Before you go into play, before you watch them, you know how much of a top footballing team they are. So we had a plan of, as I said, doing the Wolves, sticking in there, staying in the game as long as possible, counter-attacking at speed, how we know we can, but defending well. And we were so close. And I think that was the biggest thing. And I think looking at them and the confidence on the ball, the confidence to move it side to side, the confidence to be patient, I don't think you see that often no more, because supporters and everybody want you to score every time you go forward. They were patient with everything they'd done. They go out, okay, they don't care, they go back. And you're just moving. You've got to remember, as footballers against that, you're just moving side to side.
Is the name Banega coming through from what you're saying? Banega.
What a player.
Isn't he a Rolls Royce?
Honestly, it's just incredible. I go back to it as well. You know about these players before you play them, and you tend to think you know what to expect. You don't. You can watch all the clips in the world. Honestly, I watched a million clips on all their players before the game. We do it before every game, just to try and get like a little bit of an insight, trying to get a little bit of a heads up in terms of what you're going to come up against. You can't, because these players are so clever. You go into a situation where you feel like you're going to get him, and he'll go to a different situation, because he's that quick in his brain, he's that quick mentally, that he just puts himself in different situations. And what a player he is. But I can go through all their team. Centre half, Koundé.
A kid in his first senior season.
Absolutely phenomenal, mate. Absolutely phenomenal. And honestly, they were brilliant. But like I said, we that was the gutting thing about it with us, that we were very, very nearly there. And that we were nearly there. And obviously, we can see like we did at the end, obviously, with the Heber. He was a great player as well, by the way, Ocampos. He was fantastic. But the fact that we were nearly there, and we kind of threw it away at the last minute, because we always knew, I think we conceded 85 plus or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was always going to be tough to get back in the game. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You go for it, but you've... You put that much energy into the first 85 minutes where you're moving side to side, you're trying to block up your goal, you're trying to defend your box, you're trying to step out when you can, you're trying to get onto second balls, that you know that when they score in that moment, it's going to be hard to get back, even though you try with all your heart to get back into it.
And the tale of another missed penalty, which, you know, penalties became a theme in England. I think you've had a shootout miss as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have made the difference that day, but getting ahead is always psychological.
Yeah, I think, and you know what, you would never ever point the finger at anybody. Listen, Raúl Jiménez is a phenomenal footballer, and what he done for us that day, by the way, off the ball, I don't think people understand, and I say it quite a lot in interviews, in terms of a lot of people ask me about Raúl, and he's an incredible footballer, but for us, what he does off the ball is absolutely remarkable. Honestly, what he does for this team, how he goes about it, how clever he is, and what the things he does off the ball is absolutely fantastic. And like I said, you never point the finger at anyone, because he's such a phenomenal footballer.
Fair comment. Right, we've got great sponsors. We're at the halfway point. We're great sponsors. They are Bet365, and they've asked specifically, they've quoted Nuno. They've said that Nuno has spoken about this year marking, in quotes, a new cycle for Wolves. So they've said, what changes are the team trying to make to the style of play? I'm not sure. So I'd rather say to you, Conor, what do you interpret Nuno's meaning about this being a new cycle? Is it partly about adapting to new expectations and a new level?
Yeah, I think we're always trying to do that. We're always trying to improve. I think every team will tell you in the Premier League, every team who are in Europe will tell you that they're always trying to improve, they're always trying to evolve, and we're no different. We've evolved every single season. And I think the big thing to look at with it is the fact of when players come out, when players go out of a club and when players come in, you're always going to get that. You're always going to try and make them gel as much as possible. It's important that the new players coming in as a captain, as players within here, you try and make them gel as much as possible and try and make them feel at home. So I think that's obvious. And I think with the manager saying that, it's something that we need to do. You've always got to be moving in this league. You've always got to be moving if you want to improve. And that's something we need to be doing. So it's not necessarily finding different ways of playing. We always want to keep that core and keep that balance and keep that shape and organisation of our team. But it's finding different ideas within the system where we can get at teams and find different ways of beating teams. And I think you've seen that over the 3 years, 4 years that the manager's been in, from the Championship days now, we've never changed the system. We've never changed the way we do things. There's just ideas within that system that we've evolved over time, which has been fantastic.
The evolution's very important, very special. And it strikes me now that the idea is about culture. You've helped me a lot by mentioning a couple of themes here now that we're going to roll home on. And I think you're a guy who loves the culture that Nuno's introduced about self-demanding improvement. And all of us need to look, rather than saying, somebody's told me I've got to improve, it's all about us every hour, every day, in small ways or big ways, how can you improve? And if you don't, you coast. And there's a lot of people who reach levels in every walk of life, not just in football. They don't know they're coasting, and a lot of people do know they're coasting, and they're just not hungry enough to keep on going. But there's another culture, and that improvement and hunger culture. You talked about recuperation. You talked about recovery. I'm old enough to remember footballers who drank a lot. I'm old enough to remember footballers who came back after pre-season a stone overweight, and that was natural, and you run it off. You run the beer off in training. I'm old enough to have remembered Arsene Wenger causing a riot in the bus home from Blackburn by saying, no sweeties, and Ray Parlour shouting, we want our sweeties back. Gordon Strachan right. Mentioning that he tried seaweed and bananas in his porridge, and everybody thought, ah, the way to become a super player is eat bananas. And Gordon's like, no,
yeah.
Lifestyle.
Yeah.
yoga. If you talked about footballers doing yoga when I was 17, there'd have been a fist fight, okay? Let's just admit that. But all of these things are now true. Dramatic decrease in alcohol use, sugar, awareness of what to eat, stretching, yoga, sleep, all that kind of stuff. But I think you're in a culture, and that's the word I'm asking about, a culture whereby, because of in pre-season everybody being asked to buy into everything, I want to know about it. What does recovery, recuperation mean if you're a Wolves player in detail? Because I think it will interest our listeners, but also I think there's things you can take into your own personal life, whether you're an elite footballer like you or not. What's the culture of recovery, and how did it begin at Wolves?
Well, first and foremost, it's vital. It's vital to everything we do. I think a massive factor has got to go to our sports science staff. We've got Antonio and Joao Lapper and a fella, Sean Miller and Tom Mayer, who go to the end of the earth for us, if I'm being honest with you, to make sure we recover properly, to make sure we're doing the right things. Now, the right things are absolutely everything. Last year was huge for us. If I go back to last year with the amount of games we had in terms of the Europa League going Thursday, Sunday, we were recovering on planes. We were recovering in changing rooms straight after the Besiktas game and a Torino game. We're recovering straight away. You're literally coming off the game. The boss is speaking for 5 minutes and then Antonio's going, right, on your mats, let's go. And that then consists of, we have vibration balls, vibration rollers, complex machines, the course. They basically send like electrodes into your muscles to improve like blood flow.
So you attach them to your muscle, to your
attach them to your legs. Yeah, little pads, yeah. And then you attach them and it increases blood flow through your legs. But lads use them when they're injured and different things. But you can use them, obviously, in recovery sessions. You do ice baths, you do pools, you do complex, you do Normatec, it's called, like big inflatable trousers. They're mad. So you sit with them on and you've got a machine.
Well, talk about them because people won't know. What are your inflatable trousers then?
So basically, you put them on and you like to lie there on the bed, and they've got you've got like a remote with it, so you put it on level, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9, whatever. And it basically blows up through your legs. So as it goes up through your legs, it goes tighter and tighter and tighter, and it's meant to just release all the bad, whatever it is, the bad stuff you've got in your legs, whatever it is, and you'll keep it on for 20 minutes or so. We have things like that.
So that'd be like lactic acid, for example, because lactic acid is. And it might feel like when you're getting your blood pressure taken in one point of your arm, but it's...
And it goes really tight. Yeah, and it goes really tight, and it goes right up to the top of your leg to where, like, your hips are, type thing, goes right up the top, and it kind of pumps out all the lactic acid or whatever you've got in your legs out of you. And I tell you what, you do feel good after it. You do feel really good after it. But we have all these things, and honestly, it's huge for us. And I think even now, even without as many games as we had last season, it's important that you do. So we tend to have 2 days recovery. So you do, like, the day straight after a game, you tend to be off your feet straight away. You do the inflatable trials, you do the compets, you do stretching, you do the foam rollers, you do all this sort of pool, bike, and you don't go out on the grass. And then second day recovery is out on the grass for a real light session, really. You'll tend to go out, do the warm-up, do a little bit of a light session, do a light jog around the pitch, and then back in. And what we do inside on a second day recovery is the only time I've experienced this at our club, and honestly, it works so well for us. We do like a strength circuit, it is, on like vibration platforms and things like that, and they tend to say if you load up your muscles at that sort of point, it'll affect you in the game with not getting as many injuries for players, because your legs will be getting stronger and knowing how to cope with being tired. Do you know what I mean? So if you're doing a strength session when you're tired, your legs are then feeling, hang on a minute, I'm knackered here, but I'm still working. So it tends to help going into a game, and that's been massive for us, and that's been something that Antonio and Joao brought in since they come to the club 3-4 years ago. And it's brilliant. Honestly, it's absolutely brilliant. And touch wood, I don't want to speak too soon. No, the injury record being...
Let's put that aside, because things can happen. But what we're talking about is a change of mind, a change of culture, and something that once you buy into... So, for example... As a fascinated listener, we're by Zoom. If I was in the same room as you, I'd be feeling better. I'd be feeling lactic acid going out because you believe, and you said I feel better. But without naming names in your dressing room, footballers are a bunch of mourners. They don't like anything new. They don't like anything that might make them feel embarrassed. When the puffy trousers went on the first time, there will have been some moments that could never ever be aired.
of course.
How has the convincing process? Ice baths, for example. I read once about one of your rehab staff asking guys to get in together to the ice baths. Now I'm talking for me in this instance. I'd be like, you can dock my wages. You could transfer me to Tranmere if you want, but I'm not getting enough nice bath. But I think that attitude, maybe I'm out of there and it doesn't happen, but I think that's a predominant attitude in British football, yet your culture has changed. How?
Massively. And do you know what? I think it's the people who are here. I think it's knowing the sort of manager that was coming to this football club. I can only speak on behalf of myself when I was here before, and I knew when our manager came in, the calibre of manager who was coming to our club, and I knew that he could improve me as a player, as a person, and us as a club and us as a whole. And I think when he come in and he brought the players in, he did, I think they changed the culture. I think you're seeing these players coming in who had worked with him before, your Ruben Neveses, your Jotters, your Bollies, and they're coming in and all of a sudden they're just slotting straight into doing these recovery sessions, they're slotting straight into doing these strength sessions. And I think that was massive on the English boys before, because they then go, well, hang on a minute, these boys are playing the Champions League, these boys are playing for Porto, these boys are playing for whoever it may be, and you're going, yeah, this is all right, this is going to make us better, this is going to improve us. And the one thing I do agree with you in terms of, we have a culture in England, I do agree with that, but it's not saying everybody still wants to improve, everybody still wants to find ways of getting better, and we were no different when our manager come in, and like I said, you're seeing these players coming in, and I think that was the biggest thing of a culture change, that the players who come into this football club came in to change the direction of the football club. They wanted to come to Wolves in the Championship at the time, and the respect that I have for them for doing that is absolutely incredible. Ruben Neves was playing in the Champions League, youngest ever player in the Champions League, or youngest ever captain, or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, I'm playing with him. And the amount of respect I've got for him and his family, and Jota when they come over, I know now he's at Liverpool, incredible Bolly coming over to the Championship, playing at Porto in the Champions League. These players coming to the football club, I just thought to myself, wow, my respect for you is through the roof. Because I just thought to myself, I'm going to help you as much as I possibly can, because I know if I look at you and laying off you, I'll get better as well.
So it's easy to follow their habits when we're talking about the things that are difficult, whether it's like change or ice baths or whatever. But you said a thing that's important, Connor. You said you feel better. So I know we're talking about performance. That's the number one thing. But I guess you sleep better, I guess you feel fresher. These little things that are ancillary benefits, is that true? Has it changed just how you feel?
Changes your life. I'll be honest with you, it changes your life. You come to sleeping better. You mentioned sleep. Sleep's massive for us. Now, over the last few years, I've struggled with sleep because I've got three kids. Yeah. The house is carnage, you know what I mean? My house is absolutely carnage. But it's massive that when you come in and you do the thing, it helps you. You wake up the next morning, if you've had a good sleep, you're in a better mood. Everyone is, do you know what I mean? That's life, that's what happens. And I think if we hadn't do that and I come in this morning and I've not had a good sleep and I'm in a ratty mood and you're going out to train and you're not fully at it, you've not given yourself the best chance to get better. And I think that's in every walk of life. I think everybody in the world would say to us now that they want to improve in whatever they do. And we're no different as footballers. So I think it's important we stick to these rules that we have as a team and stick to these things, because you know, as a person, as a player, you're going to improve, and that's all we want.
Yes, we believe in biodiversity. It's from the makers of The Big Interview, and it's called Between the Lines, the stories behind great sports writing. Every episode takes a classic sports book or outstanding piece of sports writing and examines how the writer crafted their story. This is a weekly show, and the series so far has featured documentaries on The Miracle of Castel di Sangro and Andrea Pirlo's autobiography, I Think, Therefore I Play. There's also interviews with writers like Henry Winter, Simon Cooper, Andy Mitten, and David Goldblatt. Here's David Winner on his legendary, scintillating book, Brilliant Orange.
The book chimed perfectly with what the Dutch did in Euro 2000. They played the book almost, exactly as I described. They played, and then they tragically, ridiculously, disastrously, unbearably lost in the semi-final, this crazy game. And one of the big newspapers in Holland, the NRC Handelsblad, had a big page, like a whole front page of their review section the day after the Italy game. And it was all, you know, David Winner predicted this. And then years later, I discovered that they had two versions. The other one, if Holland had won that game, they said, David Winner's got it completely wrong, doesn't understand anything.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you're actually changing the culture of, like, you know, the, when Bolly scores in Istanbul and you win, if I understand correctly, both there, you said 5 minutes chat and then it's straight heads into recovery. You're actually doing physical recovery work with all kinds of scientific techniques in any dressing room after an away game and on planes as well. And that little, because I think players used to take those as little private spaces. I've travelled on planes with Spain, for example, when they won the World Cup, and I watch Iniesta and Thiago and Jordi Alba, they'll play backgammon and mahjong and mad little games, and they'll spend 3 hours on a plane between Moscow and Tbilisi or whatever, that just totally focused, and or they'll play cards, and that used to be one of the tiny little benefits you won for playing away, and you did a little. Now the demands on you to be working are almost never ending. Dressing room, airplane, hotel.
Yeah, it's constant. It's constant, and it's something where we want to do it. We want to do it. We want to get better. But for example, you can still do your little things. Like, we've got this game that we play. Loads of us, the majority of the team play, to be honest. We play a game called Werewolf, and it might make you laugh. Like, it's like a card game, and Leander Dendonka. So it, I'll explain it to you. You might not be able to understand it right now.
You've judged me well, but I want to hear it anyway.
Yes, you might not.
I'm not that sharp.
So, yeah, so you have like three werewolves in the park, and basically you have villagers, and you have an eye, and you have a witch. And then you get given a card and you've got to go to sleep, and you've got Leander who'll tell the story. So then he'll say like three werewolves can wake up. So basically the idea of the game is you've got to find who the werewolves are, but the werewolves have got to lie to the villagers. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm a werewolf now and then you're looking at my face, I'll be like, I'm not a werewolf. I'm someone I'm trying to can't. Do you know what I mean? All that sort of, mate, honestly, there's full blown fights in the hotel. You're lying to me and all this sort of thing. Honestly, but we were doing it before the game the other day, and half the boys round the circle that we were playing had complexes on. Do you know what I mean? Because they're doing the complex while they're playing the game. So it's fine. You know you can still do all your stuff whilst doing that, because I think it's important. Even the game we play, loads of different teams will play different stuff and do different things together. But this is a big part of how we did, because the lads look forward to it on a Friday night. We get to the hotel and the lads are finishing off dinner dead quick to go and finish off a game of Werewolf. So honestly, it's great.
This is a theme because we had Darren Fletcher and he tipped us off when we were sitting down with Michael Carrick to ask about the little handheld game that they played at Manchester United. And one of them was nicknamed Havoc and the other one was called Haywire. And as the story exploded, Fergie would be shouting down the plane. We'd get that noise down, they'd be shouting at each other. And they talked about integrating new people, join the game.
Yeah.
Never mind, have you cut it in your clothes or your patter or you've played well.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the game, suddenly everything melts and there's unison. And
100%.
It's a good tool for unity, isn't it?
Massively, massively. And I can only go off, like I said, I can only speak on behalf of myself and our team here. And like I said, we play that on a Friday, but now we've got Keanu Hoover, who just started with us, and he's playing it. We've got a few of the young boys who play it with us.
This is from Liverpool?
Yeah, the boy from Liverpool, yeah.
I went to see them in pre-season in Switzerland against Lyon last season.
Yeah.
He was playing it right back. He just glided over the pitch.
Mate. What a prospect. Fantastic, mate. And you know what? He's a brilliant lad as well. Real good lad. But I think coming into our team and knowing that, like, we make sure they play. Do you know what I mean? We drag them. Come on, you come and play in Werewolf. Yeah. Come and play Werewolf. Because honestly, you're talking about it the next day. We're on the bus going to game. The lads, what about you with the Werewolf last night? Yeah, I'm not trusting you ever again. You can do you know what I mean? One of them. But honestly, it's absolutely brilliant. But like I said, we had Keanu playing. We had Vitor playing. Fabio plays. Fabio Silva. We have all the new boys come in. And we've got 16, 17, 18 lads who want to play the game. And it's great. But like I said, we can sit around here. The lads are on the complex. The lads are doing the foam rolling, doing what they need to do to make sure they're right, but also playing with the lads as well. It's brilliant, honestly.
I don't want to let you back to your life, but undoubtedly you'll have some, as we've detailed, some recovery to do. So we'll wind up by saying that our sponsors have a brilliant social media manager called Jake, and Jake says, you can tell Connor personally from me, he's a hero. So that's from Jake.
Our thank you very much, mate.
Robert Ryan sent a brilliant question in. You've heard Chris. Lee Allen is a Sheffield United man, and he wants to hear about the heartbreak of going all the way to the semi-final and losing to a fellow guest on this series, Alex Bruce's Hull, but we haven't got time for that today. I want to close with a combination of two questions, if it's okay with you,
Colin. Yeah.
Robert Ryan said that you were interviewed recently while with England, and the 3-4-3 system that Southgate's looking for at the moment, said it was your favourite or best formation. He says it really caught your eye. And Robert asks, could you go into why? Is it the angles? Is it the front three element? He says it's his favourite formation too, and how much space with that formation you can cover on the pitch. And he also talks, you know, about having seen this 3-4-3 at the Dream Team under Cruyff at Barcelona, Ajax sometimes having three at the back, not always, and clearly both he and I agree that you've got a fabulous passing range, absolutely fabulous passing range, and Bet365 also asked that, I think clicks into this, about being called up for England, what it means to you and what it would make to you mean to you if you made the 2020 final squad. That's from Bet365. If you combine these together, the pride, the deluge of love, that, because the club opened a mailbox for them, didn't you? And it was just, it broke with people going, you're the best. And obviously, your interview after the game just, I mean, I don't know, it just brought the country just, I mean, I'm a Scot, I'd quite England, like England, not to necessarily be winning World Cups during my lifetime. After I'm 6 feet under, win all the trophies you want.
Yeah, just not when you're
exactly. Yeah, flipping that corner. 3-4-3, pride for England and making the 2020. That's what we close on. 3-4-3, passing, judgment, time to read suits you.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's not just me. Because I've played it for so long now, mate, I look at 3-4-3, I look at 3-5-2, and I watch every football game. Do you know what I mean? I'm massive on football. I'm a huge football fan. I'm first and foremost, I'm a fan. I'm like everybody else. I'm a fan. I'm just lucky enough I get to play on a pitch and watch my mates score and I get to celebrate with them. I'm a huge football fan. So I watch every game that's on telly. And I watch games now, because I've played the system so long, I watch games and think, wonder how we could play 3-4-3. Wonder how this team could do 3-4-3. I probably shouldn't. I do. That's how I look at games now, because I've played it for so long. And honestly, it's such a fantastic formation in terms of you can do anything with it. We play it a certain way. We can play it with three at the back, five at the back. You can play it higher up the pitch if you want to be more pressing and more aggressive with it. You can play it in so many different ways. And the manager at England, the gaffer at England, they've got a certain way of playing it that we're all trying to adapt to. But I think it's such a flexible formation in terms of, like you said, the angles. I think I look at myself, and I can speak on behalf of myself, that in terms of when I play in the middle of a back three, a lot of people always say to me, you don't have to go deep. And that's true, but it's in terms of there's always a reason as to why I go deep. And the reason into it is, if we're under a little bit of pressure, if one of our outside centre-halves is under a little bit of pressure, and I drop, I don't know, 15, 20 yards, it stops the striker from pressing me. And it gives me more time, it gives him more time, it gives people around me more time. And there's always a reason to. I have loads of people who say to me, you shouldn't be that deep. There's a reason as to why I do these things. And I think it's important that we stick to these sorts of things. Go on, mate, yeah.
Well, so, for example, when you've talked about Sevilla and Banega, you used the phrase begin again. Mm. Now, you can begin again in a midfielder, you can begin again in that three or five at the back. And effectively, as deep as you are, you can be doing a role that's a little bit similar to Banega, but in a different area of the pitch, because you're not just giving an out ball. If the out ball is given, you talk to your outside centre-halves left or right of you, or even the keeper, just by giving it to you and in what part of the pitch you're in changes completely the position of the opposition and how they are or aren't stretching, particularly if you're doing that at high speed. I think the concept before, when I was growing up, was if the ball goes back to centre-half, well, one, it's going to be lumped, and two, there's this urgency you talked about. But now we're beginning to understand that recycling it is not just a way out of a pressure situation. It actually has an effect on the opposition, right?
Well, that's the biggest thing about it. That's the biggest thing about it. We're always trying to affect the opposition. You're playing against 11 players, 11 top players, and the one thing you want to do is try and affect the opposition, whether that's to bring them into places they don't want to be. So if I drop deep and a striker comes with me, you get Ruben or you get Joao or you get someone on the other side of the striker, go, okay, here's the ball in. Do you know what I mean? And off you go, you get the ball, because the strikers all of a sudden come so far with me, there's space the other side. So it's all about affecting the opposition. But the good thing with how we played at Wolves and the England setup as well is that the players around me, around whoever's playing, especially at Wolves when they're around me, they know how I'm going to do things. They know that whatever I do is to help them around me. So if I'm dropping deep, it's to say, right, all right, you can give me the ball, get you out of a little bit of pressure. If I'm dropping deep and I've got the ball, it's okay, go on, get yourself wide and I'll give you the ball back, or I'll miss you out if you've got someone coming to you and I'll go a little bit longer out to the full backs. So it's important that we do it to affect the opposition, because that's what the game's all about, trying to affect an opposition to try and beat them. And I think if you can bring them into positions that they're not necessarily used to, like I said, if someone comes with me, no problem, come and stand on me, but then that gets someone like Ruben Neves, Joao Martinho on the ball, and they're players in our team we want on the ball, by the way, they're technicians, they're players who want to play and affect a game. And I think that's massive about it, and that's something we've come to learn over the years playing under the manager. But like I said, I watch it with other teams, and I watch other teams playing. I go, I wonder if he could play wing back. I bet he'd be a great wing back. I bet he'd be a great right centre half. Do you know what I mean? That sort of thing. And I bet you could play that 10 yards further up the pitch if you wanted to be more aggressive. You can play it in so many different ways, mate. I absolutely love the formation, but it's probably because I've been in it for so long now.
I understand it, and the pride thing is what we need to stop on, because you are Scotland's favourite Englishman. And I said at the beginning of the interview that I've spent my life kind of wearing my heart on my sleeve, because this is a joyful industry to be in, whether you're talking about it, writing about it, or playing it. And I think that's what you did in your interview, but I think it represents accurately what it means to you playing for your country.
Honestly, I don't 100% know where to start with it, because I've dreamed about it all my life, and most people will say the same about playing for the country. That's like a bit of a cliche, but I think for me, I mentioned to you before about being a football fan. That's what I am first and foremost. I love football. I love everything that football brings. I love what football gives to people. When we never had football in the lockdown, I seen what it done to the world. Do you know what I mean? And without football, for me, without football, like life's life. Do you know what I mean? Football's everything.
You feel lost.
And honestly, and I feel like I looked at lockdown and I seen people without football, and it weren't just me, it was people around me going, what the hell do we do this weekend? You didn't even know it was Saturday or Sunday without football. Do you know what I mean? You don't even know what the weekend is. It's mad. So I think first and foremost, I'm a football fan, but every time there's an international break before I was involved, and I'm a player who lives for the present. I say it all the time, I'll never look too far ahead of what can be. I'll never look too far ahead of what can you do in 2, 3, 4 years' time. I don't know, because what I'm here now is trying to affect Wolves now, and I never ever know what's going to happen. So I'll always live for the present. So I've always watched the international breaks, always. I always watch England, always, without fail. If there's an England game on, I always watch it because I enjoy it. I enjoy watching football. I'm from England. I love England. I love everything about it, whether it's a World Cup, a Euros, a World Cup qualifier against whoever. I always tend to watch it. So that phone call, when I got the phone, I've told a story about the phone call. I was taking my little boys for a walk over to his friends. And that phone call that I got off Gareth Southgate, it's giving me goosebumps now thinking about it. It was incredible. I ran home, told my wife was crying. And the amount of lives it affects, just one phone call, that's what football does. Do you know what I mean? So the pride of playing for my country, and the feeling when I scored in the interview after that you're talking about, that was just like living for the present. That was just something that happened that night. Something that a young lad had dreamed of all his life. And luckily, as a football fan, I get to live it. Do you know what I mean? So that was just a feeling of pride and emotion and everything coming out, because I always dreamed of playing for England. Did I dream of scoring? No, because I don't score many. So I didn't really dream of scoring.
You used to. Well, look. There's a thread that ties all of this together, because Steve Cooper is a world champion now.
Yeah.
One of your junior coaches.
Great fella, yeah. Great person.
Raheem Sterling has been with you since your youth league days, and the two of you are now staples for England. It's remarkable how important you've become to the actual quality and the enjoyment of England's play now that you're in the side. And there's a generation coming through, two generations coming through that have won World Cups for England. You're a European champion under 17 level. It might be, don't think too far ahead, don't listen to my shite, but it might be that you're coming to the boil at exactly the right time that England might lift a trophy. So keep your puffy trousers going. Always watch out for the werewolves. They're the ones who carry two razors in their bag, and then you'll know. Keep doing the things you're doing, Connor, because I'm glad you're happy and you're enjoying yourself. But for people who love football and who hate the way that football is misused and misappropriated and besmirched, guys like you reacting like you do and living the dream, it's just gold dust. And you've shared a lot of time with us generously today. It's time to go on back to Mrs. C and the kids. From the big interview, thank you very, very much indeed. I hope we haven't been too weird or bored you.
Thank you for having me, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the big interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.